Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
This episode is sponsored by R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice, a welcome addition to anyone's sleep routine. Pace Case, if you know me, and you do, you know that I'm working all hours of the day, all hours of the night. So the sleep that I do get has to be very good sleep, and I'm always looking for ways to up my sleep routine. Sometimes I'll read a book to go to sleep. Sometimes
The Bachelor?
That book keeps me very awake. It's very engaging. That never puts me to sleep. I will sometimes just put down my cell phone after a long day of looking at a screen. It's nice to get some time away from the screen. I also will incorporate some R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice. It truly makes you go to sleep a little easier. It's the thing you need to help you drift off into the dreamland.
As more and more people are looking to prioritize sleep, Organic Just Tart Cherry is having a moment thanks to Tart Cherry's potential sleep-related benefits and potential to aid in muscle recovery when you get those gains like clues. We're seeing this in the viral Sleepy Girl Mocktail trend on social media. R.W. Knudsen has a whole lineup of natural juices with zero added sugar, so you can feel good about adding them to your wellness routine. It's all about celebrating those daily wins. Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice is made from tart cherries, which may help you get a better night's sleep because they have natural melatonin.
R.W. Knudsen crushes only 100% real ingredients, so you can crush everything you do. Pick up a bottle at your local grocery store today.
I'm Courtney Robertson, the most notorious villain in Bachelor history. And I have more than a few secrets to tell. But I am not the only one with tea to spill. Every week, I'm going to be talking to another icon of reality television about the things they can only say off contract. Welcome back to Off Contract. My apologies for my hoarse voice. It's kind of sexy, right? I went to a wedding this weekend for my dad, who got remarried to his college girlfriend. Can you believe it? It's a great story. I'll have to share more on that later. But I wanted to start off by thanking everybody for tuning in to my first episode with Ashley I. All the positive feedback. Really appreciate it. So anyway, I wanted to start off by just explaining why I wanted to start a podcast. I've been getting asked that a lot lately. So back in my era, there were no podcasts. Blogs were kind of a thing. Instagram was just kind of starting out. I wrote a book about my experience, which was a tell-all, probably one of the first tell-alls. But since the book came out, so much has happened. The game has changed a lot. And I wanted to have an ongoing conversation about how reality TV really changes the lives of people that do it, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. I've been on kind of both sides. So that's the reason I love the podcast format, especially having two kids. It's something fun I can do on the side and hopefully entertain you guys. So I have a really good guest for you today, and he has done a lot of amazing things with his platform. So I'm excited to get to him. Buckle up. It's going to be juicy. But first, you might have seen me last week on The Bachelor with Zach. And I have to say, everyone says he's boring, but having met him in person, I disagree. He had filmed the night one before the group date, which I think is kind of unheard of. They usually give you a down day to kind of recover because it's such a late night, especially having more girls on the cast. It just takes longer. So anyway, he was having drinks. He was so personable. We got to chat with him before we started filming. And he has really high likability. He's very good looking in person. He might be one of those people that is better looking in person. Not to say he's not good looking on camera, but you know what I mean. When you see somebody in real life and you kind of get their aura, he was charming. He's got swag. So I'm excited to see him debunk the boring rumors. Let's hope. Maybe the editing will be favorable. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. Victoria Fuller is just as much fun as she is and as you would think. We had a hoot. We had some drinks. She was going to go do a TikTok with Lotto. She's so brave. She's like, can I get a TikTok with you? And I'm like, good for you, girl. Work that social media. And I was like, can I be in your TikTok? You know, I'm old school. Anyway, if you want a good laugh, go and watch Victoria Fuller's TikTok with Lotto. I'm jumping around in the back trying to get a little screen time. The comments are a must read. Like, you got to read it. So anyway, that was fun. I've got a great guest, like I said, coming up. So buckle up. Here we go. Today's guest was a standout Division I football player who helped lead the University of Missouri to back-to-back SEC championship games. He played 4 preseason games in the NFL for the Seattle Seahawks before going on to finish in 8th place on Michelle Young's Bachelorette Season 18, which led him to becoming the Season 26 Bachelor, where he endured the Rose Ceremony from Hell to emerge as one of the most important mental health advocates in the history of the game. He is a pizza connoisseur. He is the ultimate Viking. He is Clayton Eckhart. Welcome to the Off Contract. Hi.
That is, I love that. It was like you brought me up, then you kind of humbled me with the 8th place on Michelle's season and the Rose Ceremony from Hell. And it was a nice roller coaster right there of an intro. But it's just really, I'm happy to be here talking with you. And I think we're going to have some fun with this one today. Much better spirits than when I used to be talking about a lot of this stuff. So that's always great to be in a better headspace.
Oh, I am so thankful to have you, my fellow Arizonian. I just feel like we have that in common. I want to hear how you're liking Arizona. And I actually want to ask you if you had a walkout song because you're like an athlete. I would love to play a walkout song for you.
That's a good question. gosh, I'm trying to think. So I remember back in college, I was actually the freestyle rapper on the team. So there was like an honorary freestyle rapper. And it became me. So I would rap every night before the Saturday game. We were in like the hotel and they would turn on an instrumental beat and I would like have a mic and my teammates would be, it would get wild. They'd be throwing chairs. I'm sure the hotel didn't like that, but thankfully we had a budget to be able to pay for the broken chairs, but it was rowdy. And it was I think the song that I always like picked because it was a pump up song, it's called Finito by Chief Keef. I don't know if many people know that, but it's pretty hardcore. It gets you pumped. We used to always listen to it in the locker room. And so I actually ended up using that instrumental a lot for my freestyles. And,
my gosh. Do you still listen to it to pump you up sometimes?
I haven't in a minute. That's why I had to go back and think, because now I've calmed myself down. So if I want a pump up song, that's it. But I listen to more country these days.
Wild West now. So,
well, that's the thing is, yeah, my brother, he's got a pair of cowboy boots and I don't know if you went to Buffalo Chip, but I hear that's a really great spot, up north in town. So, it's got the country vibes around this part of this area.
The cowgirls will be all over you. So
Cowboy Clay, I'm feeling like it might be the new name. So it's been fun, but I realized I had to retire the rap career and move on and grow up a little bit, but it was fun for the time being.
Well, I've got to be honest. I'm so thrilled to see you thriving and you've made kind of a splash on social media lately. And I saw your dance moves and we don't need to talk about it, but if you want to, you've been traveling a lot. So you were in, was it Pebble Beach? And it looks like you were at a sporting event recently on the Jumbotron doing some dancing. I don't know how you feel about that, but I'm glad to see you thriving and having fun because it's nice to see after everything you've been through. And I know you've been very open about your experience. So I'm happy.
Yeah, things are really great now. I think, you know, I was in Monterey, California for, it was an iHeartRadio event. You know, I really do appreciate those events because I get to be with a lot of individuals that have went through a similar situation with other Bachelor Nation members. And so they just kind of get you, like they understand what you've been through. And it's, I don't have to sit there and feel like I have to explain myself. They're just like, hey, we get it. And it was awesome. It was a great group of people. What you're referencing made some waves because, you know, Rachel and I, you know, that was the first time that we had met up or like had actually spoken, I think, since AFR on my season. And we had really great conversations. She's went through a lot as well. But it was just really awesome to see that, like, we both have made mistakes and I've made a lot of mistakes, probably trumping many of hers. But at the end of the day, we both, you know, kind of came to this place of, hey, like, we went through a lot and we had to grow up, and we did. And we're ultimately grateful for all that had happened. And we're able to kind of like look past everything that had occurred, just because I think, you know, we both understand the pressure of it all and realize that sometimes it can get the best of you. And it is a massive test of your character. I've never been tested more than that experience. And I think she would probably say the same on her end. So it was really great. I think it more than anything, I wanted to show people that, hey, listen, like, you don't have to have these terrible relationships with your exes. You can have caring, loving relationships and respectful endings. It doesn't have to. Yeah, there's a period where we all have, you know, emotion that takes over. And rightfully so, after what happened on my season, it was a train wreck on my end from what all I did. But
but it's not a natural situation. I'll speak to that. Like, yeah, you say it's a train wreck, but I mean, you handled it the best that you could at that time after filming for what, like 2.5 months?
Yeah, it was so quick. And I think things move at hyper speed. And yeah, I went back and thought, why did I, you know, not take more time to think? And it's like, well, because my mind was constantly spinning. Like, it wasn't that I was sitting there in silence and just letting my brain blank out. I was constantly thinking, but I wasn't placing my focus in the right areas. And I was not sure how to navigate the foreign environment. So it took its toll on me, but no excuses. I also, it highlighted my insecurities and brought them to light. And I realized upon looking back at it that a lot of those insecurities bubbled up and manifested and showed themselves. And that's where I said, okay, now I'm aware of these weaknesses that I have, or I'll call them areas of opportunity. Cause I like
I
to
love
just,
that.
The words matter. Right. And I took yes. that from somebody else. All of my ideas are things I'm like, I didn't come up with these things. Hey. I read these from other places, but, the words matter that we use. And so I said, you don't call it a weakness, call it, you know, I heard to switch the narrative, call it an area of opportunity, a way that you can progress and get better. And so I found those areas of opportunity and I'm really happy. I've been in an awesome spot now. I care less about what people think than I used to.
I'm so, I know you're a people pleaser. And so
yeah,
I am.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, it's good for you to hang out with Ari because he went through it. And, you know, I was a villain in my season and I won the season and I was in your position. And like, some people can like let it roll off a little bit easier. I couldn't. And so I'm so glad to be having this conversation and that you're doing such good work and talking about mental health because it's so important. And I've had a life coach but anyway, going back to that, I mean, it's kind of nice to put a bow on it. Like me and my ex-bachelor, we kind of burned the bridge pretty bad. And we're totally cordial. Like, you know, he's congratulated me, and for better or for worse, having gone through this, you're always going to be attached to those people. So if you can put a bow on it, and like you said, just being in those situations, like that's what it's about. Like, you're like, oh, this is the silver lining of having fun and going to Monterey. And, you know, it kind of starts making it a little better. I hate to say it, but
yeah, no, and I liked the word you choose. I reference it a lot about the silver lining, finding the positive amongst the negative. But oftentimes we have to go through a period of healing. And that, for some people I've talked to, they come off the show, and as a former lead, they said that they went into a dark depression for 6 months to a year. Yeah. And so other people I heard that they, after 2-3 months, were just like, I'm good. Yeah. And then I heard some people that just like, they walk off the show right away. And they're like, I just knew that like these people's opinions didn't matter to me. And so, but we all operate at different speeds. And for me, so I told myself, I said, hey, you're going to get over this whenever you're supposed to get over all this and come to terms with it all. But yeah, so much of my life, growing up as a kid, and this was my perception, my perspective, but I felt neglected. And a lot of that was probably, my own, it was just my own thoughts. I truthfully, if I look back at it now from the perspective I have, I wasn't really neglected from friends and family, but I wasn't receiving the same, compliments and positive comments for all my accomplishments, because I was comparing myself to others around me that were actually, succeeding in certain areas. And I was like, well, I want that attention but I wasn't having the same success. So rightfully so, but I felt that I was being neglected in that realm. And so that neglect led to me trying to always impress individuals. And so then I was very conscious of what do people think of me. And if I saw one negative comment or someone scoffed at me, if I was out in public and I was dancing and someone like gave me a look, I'd be like, I'm done. I just stopped dancing right then and there. And now you alluded to it earlier, but I was just in Kentucky and I put me up on the Jumbotron and I'm over here just like hitting these terrible dance moves. I mean,
please, you were too hard on yourself, mister. I watched that a couple times and it sparked joy in me. And that's like one of those things that could go viral. Like it, and I think America needs to see that, like, cause you've had a tough go and it is really tough, but like to see you doing what you're doing is incredible. You are the ultimate Viking. I saw those dance moves. What was it? Like a Lil Wayne song or something?
I think it was by Usher, if I remember correctly. but it was, yeah. I mean, I remember I saw the video the next day and I had a couple of drinks at that point. So good.
A little liquid courage never hurt anybody. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. It doesn't hurt at all. But I just remember waking up the next day and I saw the video and I kind of just laughed because I thought I never would have done this. I remember I used to be scared if they put me on camera. If I was at a game and it was on the camera, I would just freeze up and wait for the camera to pan off me. And so it's really cool to see that progression and go, wow, like I can make a goof out of myself and not care and just have fun. And I'm no longer so, paranoid and so focused on if somebody looks at me now and I'm dancing and they give me this like, oh, he sucks. I just keep dancing. I'm like, I don't care. Like, I don't think I'm good. I just have fun. Like, that's the point is I'm just having fun and I'm not concerned about pleasing people around me, especially individuals that I don't know. I'm like, I can't please all of you. So as long as my friends and family love me and enjoy my presence, then life's good. So it's been a long time coming, but I think when you're subjected, and you can probably speak on this, I don't know your full story other than I think, were you recently on one of the shows?
I just was on last week with Lotto and Victoria Fuller and Tajwan, and it was so fun. Like, talk about full circle. I mean, it took me many years to recover from, I was engaged to the guy. We were together for a year, the guy, Ben. He was and that was a question I wanted to ask is before you went on your show, did anybody reach out to you to like talk to you about what it's going to be like any former bachelors or to coach you?
Nobody.
Not to get too off topic, but I'm curious, like.
Nobody reached out by the time I went on the show as the bachelor, but I don't think that was because they didn't care about me. It was that I went straight from the bachelorette to the bachelor. I had less than a month in between. And so I think by the time they found out, I was like, well, they made it public and I went to film like 2 days later. So there was only a 2 day window once people found out.
And it was a quick turnaround. And I was curious to ask you, how did you feel when the mayor of your town spoiled your appearance? How did you feel? Yeah.
Well, that was cool because like they had been, they were kind of tipped off, I guess, a little bit also. I mean, I was, around the area with a camera crew. And so people started tweeting and taking pictures and saying, we think this, I mean, people could hear me too. I was at downtown St. Louis and I'm like, I'm your new bachelor. And I had, five cameras on me and a film crew of 20 people. So it was pretty apparent. People started taking pictures and then word got out and really quickly. And then I think at that point, if the mayor had found out prior, he was like, oh, I can release it now because it's all over.
absolutely. But were you excited? Were you like, oh my God, this is like happening? Like, I mean, you were fast tracked. And I think that that's a rarity because it's not always like that. I mean, your situation's been unique through and through.
Yeah, it was just so quick that, I didn't reach out to anybody on my end either because this was an assumption I made, or a bad one. I try to limit my assumptions now, but I thought if I reach out to these other bachelors and bachelorettes, you know, they're not me. So they're different people and individuals. And if they share their experience, it's not going to be my experience, no matter what. Like, we are different people. Right. So I just made the assumption that, you know, talking to them may sway me to act differently than how I would act if I didn't have anyone's opinion subjected upon me or their insight placed upon me. And I thought, I want to go into this with, it sounds dumb to say this way, but like, I didn't want to have any other experiences projected onto me and where I would possibly change the way that I approached it. I wish I would have at least just asked and said, you know, hey, what are the overarching things? I don't need specifics, but what are the things that I need to let go of? What are the things I need to look out for? Like, because I had those conversations after the fact and I thought, man, this would have saved me a lot of hurt, but I just didn't have the time. I mean, I made that decision in my head that I don't want to be influenced by others. And then before I could even question that or have someone call me, I was already there. And it was like, at that point I was in the environment and there was no reaching me at that point.
Right. Well, and I respect that. I mean, you're an individual thinker though. And I get like not wanting to cloud. I mean, it's a lot you're processing. And, you know, I remember my bachelor was talking about like, he got sick a lot during our season. And I was curious to ask you if you got sick along the process, but like, you got to like clear your head. You didn't?
No,
you
I didn't.
You got a good
all.
Immune system. I mean, and there was like the time of COVID and like the making out, like I'm a little bit of a germaphobe and you didn't get sick at all.
That was right. I mean, that was during those 2021 and that was the big concern, was if I were to get COVID that it could shut everything down. And so that we were super protected, but I was still traveling around. I had always had a mask on. But you know, I'd still be out in public walking around and people would come up and hug me and shake my hand and stuff. And I was fortunate enough to not get COVID. And also all the stress that I was subjecting myself to didn't get to me either. Thankfully, I think about it. I did have, I remember there was one night, and I think it was just from lack of sleep, a couple days in a row, maybe like 3 hours of sleep.
I don't know how you do that. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I was running on fumes, and I remember my voice, or like I had a head cold. But you know, they tested me to make sure that it wasn't COVID. It wasn't, it was just like, I was stuffed up from, being super stressed and
probably exhausted.
Yeah. And it was like the back to back to back days of 3 hours of sleep where my body was just like, hey, like you need to like lay down. So, but that was about it. Thankfully my body held up.
Oh, good. Well, I'm going to talk about on contract questions.
Okay.
In your rookie season, you won every important group date at which you were crowned the ultimate Viking. In all of your accomplishments throughout the course of your life, where would you rank winning the ultimate Viking?
Yeah, I mean, for me, like that's funny. I thought it was just fun to let loose. The one time that I get to use my and that was one thing that I actually thought was humorous was I was always on the physical dates. I was never on the poetry slams or the. There was like a date where they went to a classroom and it was more mental.
Put you on the rap date. You should have been on a rap date.
The poetry thing. I knew how to rhyme, so I could have been on the poetry date, but I got, you know, the Viking date. I got, the Top Gun dates where I was, you know, battling with guys.
Hot,
and
sexy.
So we were, we were like, but it was all physical. And basketball date, they're like, throw him in everything physical and let him use the size. So it played in my benefit. But I will say I actually was slightly let down that day that it was the Viking date. It was still a ton of fun. But we had found out, we had a little a date card, and it was a clue that we realized we were
the
going
clues.
To. Yeah, we realized we were going to the Viking Stadium, and I thought we were playing football. Because I know that the show always has the Bachelor Bowl, and I was like, we're playing full-on contact football. And so that night I remember telling the guys, I was like, I got into my zone and they were like, yo, Clayton, what's going on with you, man? And I was like, guys, like, I'm sorry. I'm just like, it's game day tomorrow. And they were like, oh no, like Clayton's like getting into it. And I said, guys, I just want to let y'all know right now that like, I have nothing against any of you guys, but like, this is my sport. Like I play at a high level. I am not going to half-ass this. I'm going to go full out. I'm going to lay every one of you guys out. I'm going to stiff arm you. I'm going to like treat tomorrow like, I'm back in the NFL. And so they were all like, oh gosh. So I went to bed early that night. And I got up and I got into the stadium, and I remember we were like on the bus there, and I'm like, I'm sitting there like as if like I'm just visualizing. I'm like, the plays I'm going to make, all this. And then I walk into the locker room and they have all these like this attire, like the Viking attire. And I was like, really? Like, I've been worked up the last 12 hours just sitting here waiting to just crush some people. Like, this is the sport that I love. So I was a little let down by it, but it was still fun. And it just wasn't what I had expected. When they came out the tunnel, I was expecting it to be NFL athletes, and it was the Vikings. And I said, okay, like, I guess at least
still crushed it though. You won the damn thing. And that brings to my next question. When you were like, let's go, your famous line. I mean, that you have that, dogged persistence, mentality, which I really appreciate, because I was I felt like it was a little bit more of a competition. Like, I was competitive too. I had like a baseball date, but anyway, you, and in your season of The Bachelor, you said, let's go. Was that your idea? Was that just come out naturally?
We were just told to give a warrior cry. and that was the challenge. And so I don't know why let's go was the, I was just thinking about what can I scream as loud as possible. And we all like went down the line, and I have that was the one thing I'm like, oh, I'm winning this one. Cause I heard the other guys go, and I was like, yeah, my voice is a little bit more, it carries, it has a little bit more weight behind it. So, I just let it out. I almost passed out, cause I screamed so loud, and that like I got lightheaded. And then,
oh no,
what's funny about
get
it
the
is,
medic.
Yeah, but what I think is funny about it, and why I appreciate it, is that I get people that reference me as the ultimate Viking, but now I have this cool fan account that people like, they have a decent following, and they all say, good job, Clayton, because that's what Michelle's response was to me saying let's go. And it's kind of like they're not digging at me, it's all in good fun, but it's funny because everything I post now, everyone's just like, good job, Clayton, and they're referencing what she said right after I screamed let's go. And it's funny, like it's just fun to like have that kind of banter online, and have people that are just, yeah, they didn't take the show that seriously at that point, we're just like, this is just fun, good nature.
Yeah, you could brand that into a t-shirt. I mean, and what you're doing with, your motivational speaking, I mean, that's on brand for you. So it's going to come full circle. And I loved it personally. I was like, that's what we want to see, is personality. That was like you shining through. So,
parts of me. Yeah. I think that's where people are like, what else does he do besides scream and be physical? I'm like, yeah, I remember like telling the producers, I was like, guys, can we show a little bit more of like my thoughtful side? I mean, this would be kind of cool. Like, I get the physical side of it, but I'd love to, show a little bit more of that. They're like, oh, don't worry about it, you'll have time to do that. And we did, like, there was other times, but I was actually so hyper aware of, like, I've always been this way. Like, I constructed this image, this physical image, really to just prove to myself that I was man enough. Cause I was bullied a lot when I was younger and I was really small. So I built, I was in the gym to try to just get bigger and bigger so that like people would stop bullying me. And then I got, I used my size to play at a high level of football, but I constructed this whole outward image to just convince myself that I was man enough and good enough, because I didn't feel like it when I was younger. So, with that though, I am very like hesitant to just use my strength and size and physicality, because I'm like, hey, I don't want people to think that I'm this brute. Like, I want people to see that I have an emotional side too. This, what you see on the outside, that's the book cover, but like, open up the contents and there's so much more to me that you probably wouldn't realize. I wasn't always this size. I wasn't, the superstar athlete. I was put in the friend zone by all girls growing up. So
their hearts are breaking across America right now. And that is like wild to me, but at the same time, I get it. I was bullied growing up, and I said things like winning on my season. And they didn't show me crying at all. I mean, people tease me after my season, like, oh, she's fake crying. And I've been there and I've lived it. And I feel like you and I both were similar, and we had a great ending to our season in a way. Like, we were a little on rocky ground towards the end, and you go through this thing and you want your happy ending and this whole thing. But this, like you said, silver lining comes from like this development and growth. And I think you are too hard on yourself. I saw that in you, but of course you want them to show more.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in.
Known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, Canopy is dermatologist recommended. This unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water. Best of all, the Canopy filtered shower head is hassle-free, installation's a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Go to canopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered shower head purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, Gore listeners can use our code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you have sensitive skin, you're going to want to hear about OneSkin's scientifically proven topical supplements. This is face, eye, body, shield, and it can all be used with any of their other products, which are free from over 1,500 chemicals and preservatives that can make skin red, irritated, or itchy. Their products are safe for sensitive skin. It's just one of the reasons they've earned the Skin Safe seal of approval.
You got to keep that skin glowing if you want to be keeping up the level of face play that I've got going on. And OneSkin was founded by an all-woman team of scientists. Their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety on all skin types. Their topical supplements are the easiest way to keep your skin healthy and hydrated without the harsh ingredients or irritation found in other skincare products often. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code ROSES at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code ROSES. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support Gore and tell them that we sent you. Clues. Underwear drawers, they're not organized. They're like the Wild West, the final frontier of wardrobes. And there's no rhyme or reason to them. You got ones that are super old, different brands, etc. You don't know what to expect. But now I have felt the buttery soft comfort of MeUndies. And now I want to replace the whole drawer with MeUndies because those are my now go-to. I'm currently wearing their long sleeve shirt and my... which is not what this ad is about, but I am also wearing the super soft, sustainable modal fabric thong with no roll back waistband. You want that. You don't want it to be rolling. You don't want it to be showing. And I'm hooked. I don't want to wear anything else. It's all got to go now.
Well, this ad actually is kind of about that, Pace Case. Everybody knows MeUndies makes great underwear. It's in the name, MeUndies. But it's not just about underwear. You can explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and a whole bunch more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. There's no doubt about it. Right now, you can get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/roses. That's MeUndies.com/roses for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies. Comfort. From the outside in.
That, you know.
Yeah, well, I've always used self-deprecating humor. I still find
myself. I love self-deprecating people. They say that's a trait of a Canadian, but you're not Canadian. I love
I've met a lot of Canadians recently, actually, out in Scottsdale as well.
Tons of Canucks here.
Yeah, super, super nice. I've loved it. I'm like, I'll be an honorary Canadian any day of the week. But it's, you know, I use a self-deprecating humor a lot of times to deflect But, you know, I've recently actually had this thought of, you know, maybe I should stop. But although I would say that like self-deprecating humor is typically received well. But I sometimes make the joke, realizing deep down that I actually feel like there's some truth to it. So I almost say it as like a protective mechanism. And I find myself doing this a lot when I meet people that are fans of the show and they say, oh, I did this like literally over the weekend. People are like, oh my gosh, I love you. Your season was so great. And my first response is always like, oh gosh, I'm so sorry for how many gray hairs I probably put on your head, or like, oh, please don't throw that water bottle at me right now. Or
I hope you took your blood pressure medicine. That's my go-to line. You have those things where you're just, it's self-deprecating. And, you know, sometimes like what I learned is just to say, thank you. Like, thanks so much. Oh, good eyes. Like, you know, I'm sure you get spotted a lot here. Well, and that does go away. It eventually gets less. And then you're kind of like, wow, I'm just free in the world.
Yeah. I think part of me, I use that, like I watch your season. And my first thought is to say something about how bad of a job I did so that I don't know. It was a mess, but I basically find myself doing that so that we can kind of laugh it off.
You just did it. It was a mess. Like,
I don't think in hindsight, I mean, I don't want to also, it's like also being mindful and trying to be respectful of, I don't want to ever downplay the pain that I cause. So it's a balance. It's like, I don't want to sit here.
Because you're a gentleman and you have big feelings.
Yeah, but I don't want to tell people, like, they go, oh, I loved your season. I'm like, yeah, wasn't that entertaining? The rose ceremony from hell. I really screwed those women up. Like, I would never, right? Because it's like, I still remember, like it was yesterday, the looks on their faces and the pain that I caused. And I'm like, I never want to ever make it seem like I'm downplaying what I did. And so that's why I think part of it too, why I still kind of make those comments, because I was like, hey, I know I hurt people and I don't want to make a joke out of it. I just take it for what it is. I'm like, you know, how do I reflect back on it? I do think it was a mess. I really wish I would have done it better. And if I was the person I am today, I would have completely navigated it differently. But I tell people, I believe I had to be the Clayton that I was then and not the Clayton I am today, because I was not going to learn those lessons any other way unless I lacked a little bit of emotional maturity, unless I lacked a little bit of empathy. These were, and also if I wasn't a people pleaser, like all these things, they shed light on my insecurities, and I needed to be that Clayton in order for those insecurities to come to light. I think it all happens for a reason. And that's what I've seen it as, is like, I'm really apologetic. I'm really grateful though at the same time for what happened. Do I regret going on the show? No. Do I wish I would have done things differently? Yes, but I can't change that. So I just say, oh, I wish I would have done things differently, but I didn't. So that's just the way I see it nowadays. I can only look forward.
That is just beautiful. Oh my gosh. My heart is smiling. And, you know, I wanted to touch on, you've been extremely outspoken about your own mental health after the show, which is something that is so needed, not just in the Bachelor franchise, but in the reality TV world. So have you had any other players reach out to you for any coaching or positive reinforcement?
Yeah, I mean, I've had people that have reached out, absolutely. Individuals that are struggling in their own realms. Some people that are villainized. Some individuals that are just, former leads that need to vent, right? Like, just need to talk to somebody.
Like you said, have that instant connection.
Yeah, because there's just, no matter how much, and we can only say so much anyways, but the only person that's going to understand what you've went through is somebody that's went through that exact experience. So I've had a lot of great conversations with former leads that I say something and I'm like, I don't know if that makes sense, like it makes perfect sense. But when I explain it on a podcast or to the public, people, again, they're only getting this little bit of information that I'm providing, but it's like with everything that I'm saying, with every action I'm dissecting, there's probably 50 things that I either can't say or like you just won't understand it if I do say it. So
it's not relatable, which I totally get. Yeah. You have to sidestep. It says that you got to do the old bob and weave.
Yeah. And that's where, I mean, I started trying to explain everything And I realized, I said, no matter how much I try to explain this, there's just certain things that you'd have to have been there in order to know where I'm going with this. And so there's just, I found out I was kind of wasting my breath by trying to explain it. Some people got it, but others, what I found out was it, more than anything, I just needed to accept responsibility for what I had done instead of trying to explain my side of things. Cause there's, what do the people say? There's like three sides to the story. It's your side, the other person's side. Yes. And then like, and like the truth, like in between some of that, like there's three truths to it all. So, I just realized I'm like, I can't explain something that's so convoluted, something that's so complex. I should just spend my energy on moving forward instead of trying to explain my past. So
I love that.
That's a growth. Yeah. I mean, that takes growth to come to that place,
but it's still hard. I still fight the urge to help people and want to and they never take your advice, but you want to try to help. And that's, I've definitely been there, and that's so good. Cool. You really have a good head on your shoulders, man.
Yeah. I think too, though, you made a point just there saying like, sometimes people won't take the help. I think we all have an ego.
I always say your ego is not your amigo.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like, it's,
but it creeps up.
It does. And your ego can also, it's positive. I mean, your ego it has good aspects to it. You know, when I look in the mirror in the morning or after I do a workout and I'm feeling super good about myself, I look in the mirror, that's my ego talking like, man, you look good today. Like,
oh, my walkout song's my ego. When I'm at the gym getting hyped up, I'm like, I could rule the world
Like that ego, it's like that self-centeredness, but it's like, it's also your biggest hype man to say, let's get it. Like, you got this today. Like, I've had plenty of times where my ego, I was super nervous. Like when I was training for the NFL and the scouts showed up, my ego was like, hey, like, let's go, man. Like, you're here for a reason. So,
you need that though. You need that person to like, okay, fly. Yeah,
you need that inner voice. But sometimes that inner voice also is selfish and it says like, hey, why are you over here? Like, allowing people to say this about you, like tell them the truth. Like, let's tell them the real truth. Like speak up.
In this
up.
Case, you can't really, it's really hard to do that.
But it's also, that's where it's like, my ego is telling me, I don't need your opinions. I don't need your advice. Like, I can do this on my own. Like, I've gotten this far in my life because of my own doing. And that was very egotistical, where I'm like, no, you did. Now I reflect back. I'm like, no, you did not. You got here by all of the people around you, your support system. You can call it luck, but I think luck is when opportunity, was it preparation meets
preparation. Yes. We were the same. Yeah.
That's where you have to have opportunity present itself. But I was prepared for it, but still I'm like, some of these things, man, like you did not make it here by yourself. So, but the ego likes to take credit for it all and say like, no, I got this. I don't need your help. I'm not you, I'm me. My ego was humbled, and I talk about ego sacrifice. It was super important for me to like address my ego and say, hey, listen, buddy, like take a seat.
Get in the back seat, buddy.
Yeah. Like, you got us into a world of mess right now. So like, sit down, like you're in timeout.
I always say, turn the volume down. I turn the volume down on you got to, especially if you're a competitor and you're an athlete by nature and you definitely got it. That's really well said. And that I want to talk about your book because I love what you're doing. Like I said, I think you are speaking up and you're helping people. And I know that probably gives you so much joy. So I want to talk, you wrote a book and it's coming out. I believe you said in the beginning of this in 2 days. So, let's talk about it. Tell me about it, because this seems like a passion for you and you're so well spoken and educated about this. So let's talk.
As much as I can be. Yeah. It's funny. I have imposter syndrome still to this day, because the more that I get entrenched in this mental health community, the more I start meeting the pioneers and the experts in the industry, and I listen and I follow them in their social media accounts, and they have so much wisdom, and I compare myself naturally. Like, we can talk about
comparison. I compare myself to everybody's podcast and I'm just starting, but you got to start somewhere.
Yeah. And I, there was a really good, video I saw, of Tony Robbins. He's a big time speaker.
I know him. Well, I don't know him, but I, I listen to a lot of motivational speaking, so.
Yeah. And he's, you know, probably the best in the industry. I would watch his post, you know, his most recent post. And I'm like, I am nowhere near Tony Robbins, nowhere near, like, I should just give this up. That was my ego talk saying like, dude, you're nowhere near this guy. Like, why? Forget it. Like,
you're like, hey, loser, get in the back. You're never going to be Tony Robbins.
And that might be the drink talking there. Yeah. Toby. But you know, that's the thing, is I don't have to be Tony Robbins. And honestly, I mean, that man is an absolute, phenomenal person. And like, he's done what very few people probably will ever do. I mean, he's probably, if you think motivational speaker, he might be the greatest of all time. But then I saw a video he posted of like 25 years ago of him speaking. It was still very incredible, but it was a little bit less polished. Mm-hmm. And I watched that, and he was at the time in the video, I think 29. And I go, okay, actually I see this video. He was still a better speaker than I am at 29, but the gap now, all of a sudden I said, okay, wait, I feel like I can get to that point. You know, I just needed to see a different reference point. And so, just having that mindset, or seeing that and educating myself and finding this new perspective, led to me starting to have a greater sense of belief. And that ties into the book I'm writing, 180 Degrees, which I talk about reorienting your life, where you may be walking down the path of death to turning 180 degrees in the opposite direction and walking down the path of life. And I talk about how as I started to find more belief in myself, I found more happiness. And how can somebody go from a place where they don't believe in themselves to a place where they finally are starting to actually believe that they can achieve things in life? And so that's what the book essentially is about. I go back in seventh grade, where my mental health struggles began, and I talk about how I had zero belief. And then I go through in chronological order, and I bounce around a little bit, but I try to keep it in order up until present day, and show all of the different things in my life that helped me establish a greater sense of belief. And I talk about how I was able to do that by myself, whether it was mindfulness. That's a big one I talk about. I also, though, talk about, you know, the different, like, going to therapy and journaling. But then I also talk about how others helped me find a greater sense of belief in myself. So the story is just there to hopefully individuals can read and say, I set it up where I have these six principles, and I talk about 30 degree changes at a time. So 6 times 30 makes 180 degrees. And I say, into each of these principles, then you will end up being able to make this turn, but they all work together.
Are so smart. You have like actionable items in this to like help.
I hope so. People. Yeah. I mean, I wanted to try to make it relatable. Right. Cause I mean, I don't know if you've ran across this and you can speak on this, but, a lot of people, I don't want to say we get dehumanized, cause I don't want to use that's a pretty powerful word.
I know
word,
where you're but, going with this. It's not but, relatable what we've been through.
Yeah.
You're still too fresh coming off. It took me years to get to the place that I'm in now. Years. It took a long time, but people don't relate. Even when I wrote my book, I didn't come here to make friends. People took that title so literally, like, she's still mean. Like, the trolls come out at night, you know, and it's just so hard to make everybody happy. You just can't.
Yeah,
you really can't.
You have to tell yourself.
It sounds like you kind of dumb yourself down, but you make yourself smaller to make other people feel better sometimes, you know, because you've been through something that it's like less than 1% of what you've been through. That's why you have this unique platform to share how you've turned it into something better or for yourself, because it was hard.
Yeah.
You don't want to complain, and you don't want people to be like, why are you complaining? And you got to, I just saw that picture of you on Instagram with that amazing backdrop, and I read it and I was like, wow, that is so cool that you had that experience. Like, and you get to share that as well.
Yeah. No, and that's the biggest thing, is I think for me, I wanted to show people that, I know that you may all look at me, some of you, and say, I can't relate to this kid at all, but that's where the book is me opening up to say, yes, you can. Have you ever felt stressed, depressed, anxious? Have you ever been bullied? Have you ever lacked self-confidence? If you know, if you've went through these things, and guess what? We have a lot in common. So
that's, and we are all the same. That's what the Dalai Lama says. You know, we are all the same, which I've read so many self-help books, and I can't wait. So where can everybody get your book? Is it?
I will have it posted to my Instagram, where I only like to have one social media avenue, yes. You know, outlet. It becomes overwhelming. So I like Instagram. That's been my media channel of choice. And when it's good to go, I will post a static post, so that, you know, it's announcing it's out, and then I'll have it in my bio.
I would love to read it and get advanced copy and help promote it in any way possible and send it to everybody. I'm so proud of you. I mean, just, it's gotta be cathartic writing the book too. It's also emotional. I remember there were days where I was like, I can't work on this anymore, 'cause it brought up a lot. So
yeah.
Will people, get like any bachelor tea or any insight into that time in your life? Like a little tea?
I would say that people will get insight into my inner thoughts. I do talk about the show and a few experiences in it. Yeah. I mean, I do reference it. I reference the night where Susie and I, you know, had our disagreement, and when I lost my cool, and I give a behind the scenes, or like an inner, like, I
oh, that's take so great.
I take people into my mind and say, here's what, you know, this is why
that's I, kind of what I did too.
Yeah. And yeah. So I do talk about that, and I do provide insight as to, here's why, you know, what you saw, what was happening in my head at the time. And so, I do talk a little bit about it. But you know,
no, that's perfect. Yeah. I mean, people will really be interested in reading that. So I'm going to just put it out in the universe. New York Times bestseller right now. I'm so proud of what you've done. I only have a couple more little questions for you. They're fun ones.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast, with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
So, would you ever go on another reality TV show?
Yeah, I would consider it. I at this point, I see the value. And what I think is really cool is that social media, reality TV, they can be a tool to push what you're passionate about. And so, depending on what the show is, I mean, I know, like, you know, I'm sure when people say that, they go, do you want to go on Paradise? Like, that's the next thing that people would see possibly happening. But I know there's other people that go on different shows. And for me, what I see is that it brings more exposure, which then allows you to shed or to shine a brighter light on what it is you're passionate about. So for
me, more people. Yes.
Yeah. So for me, I saw, like, even this last week, like, you know, with Rachel and I, we were posting, you know, just like that fun video, and just like, we're like, hey, we're on good terms. Like, and we posted that, and it, like, brought a lot of traction to my page, which was good, because then I could say, hey, here's the things I'm doing in the mental health realm. So all of a sudden now, as I post a story about mental health, it gets, you know, 3 to 4 times as many views. And it's like, this is great, because this is what I'm really passionate about. And, yeah. You know, if it's going to bring more eyes on it, then, like, that's what's so great. And also, like, it's, you know, not beyond just like the exposure that comes that allows you to shine a light on what you're passionate about. It also is a very unique experience to go on reality TV, and it's fun and it's a once in a lifetime thing. And it's one of those things where I think looking back, it's like, why not do this? Like, have fun while you can. You don't know. You never know. I mean, you might find love. Like, you could find love. People find love on Paradise. People find love on The Bachelor, Bachelorette. So if it's that show that I go on in the future, you know, it's with an open mind that, like, what are my expectations? Just to have fun and just to be myself, and whatever's meant to come of it will come of it. So I just believe everything happens for a reason. And if I have a future on another reality TV show, then I'm meant to be there. For what reason? Who knows? I don't question it anymore. I don't project. Yes. I just say, let me just go, and then we'll see what comes.
Oh, the opportunities are going to just come. I am not worried about you at all. I could see you on the Traders. I could see you doing sports broadcasting. I mean, the world's really your oyster. And that's kind of what you were saying about the beauty of all of this and, like, making you feel good and making you feel joy. Like, I love doing real estate. I'm really good at it. I'm so excited to have you join the community. But, like, this is what energizes me, like having mindful conversations and helping people. And I know my book helped people as well. So I'm excited for, I can't wait to read your story. And yeah, this is really good stuff, Clayton. I really appreciate your time, and you've been generous with your time. So I would love to see you on another show, even Paradise, like you said, but I'm sure it goes down in the DMs. I'm not worried about you romantically. Like, if anything, you've gotten all the tools now to, like, okay, what am I looking for? What are my boundaries? And is that, is love, like, on forefront, or are you just kind of focused on work right now?
Yeah, I think I'm really focused on what I'm currently building, which is, I've been writing my book for the last 8 months, and I want that get that out.
It's a long time.
It's, and people are telling me in book terms, it's kind of quick, but I've been, you know, really just 8 to 10 hours a day sometimes writing. I mean, when my mind starts going, it just goes crazy. So.
Oh yeah. When you feel those moments of creativity, you got to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes you feel low and you're like, oh, I don't, like, I found the time of day. Like, okay, I'm good in the mornings. I need to write then. So, but that's
absolutely. Yeah. So it's been, I'm again, that's going to come out soon. I'm getting my real estate license and hopefully the next couple of weeks. So, like, I've been really putting a lot, all my time has been spent on just working, and I've had a little bit of burnout doing that, but that's why I'm like, okay, I need to balance it. But I've kept my mind open. I mean, I am going on dates. I am keeping options open, and I've met, you know, some really great women, and
I'm sure.
And I just, you know, I'm like, well, again, I'll see where it goes. I am just continuing the conversations, whether it's continuing the conversations in mental health, whether it's continuing the conversations romantically. I'm like, I'm just going to keep pushing forward and showing up every day. And then when it feels right, it'll all fall into place the way that's supposed to. So that's just the way I'm approaching it.
And you're having fun doing it. And what a beautiful thing to share that side of you that maybe we didn't get to see. And my last question is, do you have any guilty pleasures? I know you love pizza. Would love to hear about what your favorite pizza is or brand is. If you do, you know.
My favorite pizza is Emo's Pizza because I'm from St. Louis. So anyone that's from St. Louis loves it. Most people that aren't from St. Louis despise it.
Yeah. Or can I get that on Amazon? I want to try it now.
I want to say, I don't know the answer to that. I feel like people have said you can buy them at the store, but I don't know if that's just only in the Midwest and around Missouri. But nothing like, it's not the same as like going to one of their stores. So that's my favorite pizza though, by far. There's nothing close to it in my opinion, but I'm super biased being from St. Louis. Guilty pleasure.
It could be anything.
The one that I always think about and I've mentioned, although I haven't, when I buy a new place, I'll probably get back into it, but I've always actually appreciated candles. And lighten them up. So, like, I think it's kind of like
sexy. Good for you. Just
like, yeah, it's like very calming. So I think when you, you know, turn off all the lights and you just light like 10 candles and put them throughout the room, like that's to me like a Friday, Saturday night thing. And if you got somebody with you, I mean, it's just nice. Like it's just relaxing.
Gosh, do you buy them yourself? And they're not cheap candles. You should start a candle line, Clayton. Clayton's candles. Just hot off the press right here. It could be like the smell of Arizona desert on a rainy, you know, moody night.
Yeah, I'll have to think about what smell. I used to always get this one candle. It was always the same one from Walmart, because I love Walmart. I'm a big Walmart shopper.
You're a big Walmart guy.
Yeah, I'm like, I have a hard alliance with them. I don't stray from them at all. Everything I buy is from Walmart. So
brand loyalty, I like it.
Yeah, I have been. Yeah, since I was young. And because it's like it's all we had growing up in my hometown, essentially. But I like to stick to what I know. But there was a candle that had, it was vanilla, caramel, and what was the other one? Chocolate, maybe. It was it was like a 3-tiered candle, and it used to smell incredible. So I haven't bought any since I've been in my brother's apartment, but when I get my house,
light it up, honey. Just go crazy. Light it up. Well, you are lighting up the world, and thank you again for your time. You've been very generous with your time, and I know you've got a lot going on and some fun travels coming up. So, thank you. And call me, and I'll send you my cell phone number, but if you need anything at all, I'm here. So.
Yeah, no, it sounds great. I'm sure we'll have plenty of, now being in the same city, I'm sure that we'll have plenty to talk about, and definitely I'm sure we'll bump into each other at some point. So
absolutely. And have fun at the Boot Scoot and Boogie.
I haven't been there yet. I don't know what that is, but sounds dangerous.
Get your boots on. Get the steel toe. What is it? Steel toe?
You can have those. I know that boots also usually have about 2 inches of lift. I know this because my brother's 2 inches shorter than me, and he wears his cowboy boots out so that he can cancel out my height advantage. He's also a single guy. So he always takes my height away by wearing his boots. So I told him, I was like, I'm about to get my boots so I can get my 2 inches of lift too.
Oh my God. You're going to have some, just keep having fun. That's what it's about, really. Yep. And thank you so much. I know you got a hard outro. So, wow, that's our show. Thank you so much, Clayton Eckard, for joining us today. You are the best, the 26th crown and ultimate Viking, a true legend in the game. And you can find him on Instagram, his platform of choice, under his name, Clayton Eckard. Follow along during his healing, his journey. His book is coming out. The silver lining is he is dancing again. Talk about relatability. Who doesn't overthink? Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, we've been off contract.